When you give yourself permission to communicate what matters to you in every situation, you will have peace despite rejection or disapproval. Putting a voice to your soul helps you let go of the negative energy of fear and regret. And this week's opening quote comes from Shannon L. Alder. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, people's failure to put a voice to their emotions, put a voice to their inner feelings, is a lot of what has allowed the world to get to the state that it's now in. People simply don't speak their mind. People don't say what they really mean. People are trained to be politically correct in what they do, and so they police their own thoughts, and they bottle up the things that they really would like to say. And you'll find that if you don't do that, if you actually express yourself and say what you mean and mean what you say, it will provide an enormous amount of freedom to you. You know, just in your personal demeanor, just in the way you get through life. Speaking your mind and expressing yourself, but not having any emotional attachment to the outcome of it, is hugely liberating, folks. It really is. I mean, I speak my mind all the time. I just say what I feel, and I have no problem expressing my emotions at all. But once I've done it, I'm good. I'm able to move on from that point. I don't hold grudges against people. I don't dwell and seek revenge against people. I don't fixate on things. I simply express them as they happen and clear it. And that clears that emotion from you. It clears that negative energy from you if you are able to express it. But if you don't express it and you bottle it up inside, you end up taking it out on people in other ways, and you end up causing disruption in your life in other ways simply by the way you react to completely unrelated situations. You know, you often do this because there's emotional baggage that's bottled up inside you that you simply never expressed at the time. And that's a big part of what this society has done to people and what the education system has done to people. It's caused people to always be politically correct. Essentially, it has caused people to tolerate things that they otherwise would not tolerate. And this is what has allowed the world to deteriorate to the point that it has. It's our tolerance of things that we simply don't agree with, but we don't speak out about them because we feel it's politically incorrect to do so. We believe that things should be addressed in the proper manner and be done through the proper channels and all the things that the government and the education system and the media has trained us to believe in and the ways they've trained us to think. But it's this tolerance which has allowed the world to get to where it is, folks. It really is. It's political correctness. It's this training that we received all through school, and the way we live ourselves in this society, we are always very concerned about our outward appearance towards people. We're always concerned at how people will view us, how they will view us politically, whether we are a radical or someone who is a little bit too outspoken. We all want to be nice and even and present ourselves as all prim and proper and doing everything right and having everything perfect in our lives. And we always think the right way, and we go with the right things, and we do the right things, and we support the right people, and everything's good and everything's safe and everything's clean. That's the way we're trying to believe we should be. When really what we should be is we should be ourselves. And when we see something that we disagree with, we should say that. We should speak out about it, especially if what we're seeing is something that is wrong, something that is doing harm or causing harm to our society or causing harm to the world. We very often support these sorts of things because it's politically correct to do so, when if we were truly being ourselves, we would speak out against them. We wouldn't tolerate this sort of rubbish going on in the world, and were we to do that, then the world would not be in the state that it's in. And even with what's happening in the world today, with the revelations that have come to light through the release of the Clinton emails and through the Pizzagate investigation as well, even with all of this happening, the uncovering of this global child trafficking network and the amount of people trafficking that happens from war, all the stuff that's been exposed through this, even though so many people can see it and there is a wave of knowledge that is growing in the world, we're not seeing too much reaction from it, again, due to people's politically correct approach to it. Now, even people who are pretty well asleep, who have been looking at this information, can see that there's a lot more to this than what the mainstream media is telling them. I mean, the media simply isn't telling them the truth. It's become quite obvious to the average man on the street the media is in fact covering up and whitewashing over this issue. I mean, even with all the claims of fake news and all the claims of Russian hacking and all the claims that Pizzagate is a psyop and all of this sort of stuff, people are seeing that this global pedophile network is real, and they are seeing that there is actually a lot of validity to what has been claimed about Hillary Clinton. But they're not really speaking out too much about it either, unless it's kind of under their breath where nobody else can really hear them in quiet chatter around the kitchen table over a cup of coffee with their friends. They're not really speaking out about it publicly because of political correctness, because of their fear of really voicing their opinions and their belief that the system may do something, the belief that maybe someone in the system is going to investigate this. And of course, this, it will be the system investigating itself again. And so nothing will come of it. And if something does come, well, of course, the main players will very likely receive a pardon the way they always do. But again, it's people's failure to really speak out and their failure to speak their mind, their failure to say what is really in their soul, which is what allows this to happen. Again, it's our tolerance of this evil through the training that we've received, which has kind of instilled this mindset into the people. But I think people are beginning to see through it a little bit now, and I encourage everybody out there who is awake to continue to spread this type of information and to encourage others to do the same. But do it in an empowering way. Don't do it in a freak-out kind of way, you know, where you're screaming doom and gloom and the sky is falling. Just speak about it in an empowered way and inform people that all the evidence is actually now there to prove what we've been saying all along, and that is that the world is run by criminals. And it's true, folks, and it's pretty obvious that it's true now that the world is run by criminals and that all of these wars have been manufactured for profit, and a lot of what that profit has been the human harvest that has gone along with it. It's not just about resources and building pipelines and shifting borders around and putting puppet regimes in everywhere, although that helps, but it's all about the human harvest as well. And this human harvest is happening on a worldwide scale, and there are people being trafficked all around this earth. You see, the problem is that there is a mass depopulation agenda taking place, and really it's always been taking place, and it's not really so much about depopulation as what it is population management. This has always taken place, folks. They've always gone in and managed populations in certain areas. They've genocided all sorts of populations. They've gone and exterminated race after race after race. Look what they did with the Native Americans, for example. Even under the guise of helping them, giving them blankets infected with smallpox, etc. All of these sorts of plans that they have undertaken through the centuries to manage populations and depopulate certain areas. But it's important to understand that while they're doing this, there's also a human harvest that takes place. I mean, if you're going in and wiping out a population of people, you've got to understand that there's all sorts of uses for some of the people that you're wiping out, especially the women and children. The men aren't so useful unless they can be sold into slavery and servitude the way the Negroes of Africa were sold into slavery. But you can't really do that in the modern world. You can't really have black slave labor running your plantations. So what they do is they harvest the women and children. And of course, such is not always the case. Of course, if you are running a diamond mine in South Africa, for example, well, then you can have black slave labor, and they do have black slave labor. It is actually rife throughout the African continent still. But in modern warfare, in the modern world, in Europe, in the Middle East, in the places that we go into under the guise of helping people, you can't really be harvesting the men and sending them to work on your plantations. So in these sorts of situations, what usually happens is the men are killed off or recruited, in inverted commas, to join organizations such as ISIS, which is in fact a mercenary army run by the West and mainly financed by the Clinton Foundation. And that's what usually happens with the men, and the harvest is the women and children who are all gathered up as soon as you go into these countries, as soon as you go and take over a village or a town, you gather up all the women and children, and the women and children are sold into slavery, usually sexual slavery, or the children are very often used for rituals and all sorts of stuff that they do with these children. I've discussed this on many shows recently. But it's important to understand that this human harvest takes place, this population management takes place, and it's always been this way. And to see how it works to a T, folks, I've often said all you've really got to do is look at the situation in Israel. Look what's going on between Israel and Palestine, because What you see in Palestine is, as I've very often said, a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And the human harvest that takes place from the Palestinians is enormous, folks. You've got to understand Israel is one of the biggest traffickers of human organs in the world, and you might ask yourself where they get so many organs for such a small country. Well, of course, it's from the Palestinians. You notice they're always announcing how they will never return the body of a terrorist if the terrorist is killed. And anybody is named as a terrorist. Anybody who speaks out against Israel is named as a terrorist and is killed. And the organs are harvested and sold, however it is that they do this. There's also open child slave labor that happens in Israel because many of the minors that are abducted by the Israeli forces, and this is enormous, folks, the amount of children that are abducted by Israeli soldiers, many of these children are sent to work on what are called agricultural settlements. And these are usually large market gardens, and the labor that is used in these gardens is stolen Palestinian children. And that's the thing with the situation in Palestine, folks. When people are critical of the Palestinians, they really need to look at the options the Palestinians are given by the State of Israel. And the options are pretty simple. You can either lie down and be killed slowly and die quietly, or you can stand up and speak out. And if you do stand up and speak out, we will call you a terrorist and we'll kill you and we'll bulldoze your family's house. And that's the choice that the Palestinians have. You either lie down and die quietly, or we bulldoze your home so that you die a little quicker. That is the only choice the Palestinians are given by the State of Israel. And of course, all of this is funded and is allowed to go ahead because it's supported by countless criminal politicians around this world, all of whom receive the money to do it by milking you and milking you of your wealth and milking the population of their countries and tying them up in endless contrived wars, endless contrived financial difficulties, and just endless rubbish that has nothing to do with reality, all of which is contrived and concocted by politicians in order to control the population of this earth. And they've been very successful at it up until this point, but I really do think the wheels are falling off because people can see it now. People can see that it's all messed up, and all we have to do is help people understand the danger of remaining politically correct in their response to what is starkly right there before their faces. Show a little emotion, folks. It's not a crime to show an emotional day. They are trying to outlaw it. But you need to get a little angry in the face of this. If you're not angry in the face of this, well, I would suggest it's the fluoride. But if people can look at the world today and not feel a little emotional about it and not feel a little angry about this situation, then I simply don't know what's wrong with them. But if they do look at it and they take the blinkers off and they can get a little angry about it, perhaps they can channel that anger into some positive action. I mean, you can do it, folks. You can turn anger into something positive, but you have to be prepared to speak out and you have to be prepared to stand up for yourself. Now's the time to do it, so let's all get involved. And I know I've been saying that for a long time, but I'm just going to keep pushing that point, folks, because as soon as people do decide to get involved, we're going to make a difference. We have all the numbers to do it. We just have to get a little bit of unity, get our heads out of our rabbit holes, allow ourselves to believe in different things, and all turn to face what is in fact a common foe. You know, it doesn't matter what rabbit hole you're going down. I've often said this too, folks. Doesn't matter which one you're going down. All of them exist because we are not free, because all of these systems of control have been put in place. All of these secrets have been hidden from us, and we know this now. So let's stand up and call it and do something about it. Doesn't matter what you believe in. We'll find out what the truth is once we've established freedom. Now we have a chance to do it. So let's get a little focus, shall we? And we've really got to stop all of the division. All of these Muslim memes I'm seeing everywhere. Everyone is paranoid about Sharia law coming to their countries. Let me tell you something, folks. The only countries that have Sharia law would be Saudi Arabia and perhaps Qatar. And these two nations are absolutely abominations, but they happen to be Western allies. None of the nations that we have gone in and bombed have had Sharia law. You know, no countries have Sharia law. There isn't Sharia law coming anywhere, and all the people that are out there promoting it, pretending they're Muslims, are probably Mossad agents. What this is about is whipping up this fervor against Muslims to ensure the war of terror continues and that greater Israel is created. That's what it's all about. Create tension around the world and create tension in local communities. They want you to hate the local Muslims, even though the local Muslims haven't done anything wrong, but they want you to think that they are. They want you to think that they're all terrorists, so you'll start rioting and hating these people and causing scenes in public so they can up the ante with the police state, put more police on guard, and lock you further down into a police state. That is what this is about. This whole concept that Sharia law is coming to the West is completely and utterly absurd. It's not happening. It's simply part of the divide and conquer strategy, and I am absolutely amazed at how many people are buying into it. You know, everybody is facing the same foe, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or Muslim or whatever you are. It doesn't matter. What we are facing is a group of psychopathic pedophiles who are farming this species, and they want us to fight amongst ourselves. They want us to be divided. They want all the religions at each other's throats. They want the globe earthers fighting with the flat earthers. They want the people who believe it's the Jesuits fighting with those who believe it's the Jews. They don't care who you believe it is. They don't care what you believe in, what religion you decide to take on. As long as you take on a belief system and you fight with people who don't have the same belief as you, that's what they want you to do. It's been one of their most effective strategies, and it is so obvious in the world today, and I'm just amazed at how many people are buying into it. You know, we've got to stop this, folks. We've really got to look around and see how we're being played and see the opportunities that we've been given by all of the information that's been revealed lately. You know, something that really amazes me about the human race is how intolerant we are of ourselves, how intolerant we are of each other, how intolerant we are of ourselves in changing our beliefs, how scared we are of losing face should we suddenly change our opinion or decide that maybe we were wrong about something. There's so many people that simply can't face that reality about themselves, you know, and we all make mistakes. We all go down the wrong path. We all open books that are leading nowhere. We all go down blind alleys and end up in rabbit holes that have simply distracted us for months or years on end. It happens to everybody. It's part of life. It's part of learning. That's how we learn. We make mistakes. If we didn't make any mistakes, we wouldn't learn anything. It's people's unwillingness to admit their mistakes and to learn by their mistakes and to simply be able to publicly change their direction and change their stance, which causes so many problems. You know, it's this political correctness we have with ourselves. The way we police our own belief systems, the way we construct little boxes of beliefs for ourselves, and we won't look outside those boxes. We won't consider any wider possibilities. And as soon as you lock yourself into a belief about anything, you've left the path of knowledge. That's simply the way it works, folks. Be careful what you believe, because life is an unfolding journey, and we are so far from free at the moment. There are so many things that are hidden from us. There is so much information that we just simply do not have, that it is imperative that people keep an open mind about everything and work towards finding a way to establish the freedom we need to answer all of the questions we've ever had. And to me, this is so simple and it's so obvious and it's so important, and I can't understand why people just can't see it. I really can't. I don't understand why people continue to fight, why people continue to belittle each other, why people continue to keep their heads down rabbit holes and stay locked in the magic, stay locked in the spell of the written words, stay locked in the magic of the gematria and the numbers and the symbols and all of the stuff that's around them. Well, they can't simply see that they're being farmed. They can't simply see that it's a prison and there's a doorway. And that doorway exists within our own hearts if we could simply apply ourselves to the situation. I don't know why people just can't see it. It's so simple. It really is so simple. You know, sometimes I get incredibly frustrated at mankind. I get incredibly frustrated at people's inability to see the simplicity of the prison and the simplicity of the method of escape from the prison. It really does frustrate me enormously. Sometimes I lose patience with my fellow man because I want them to see it as easily as I can, but they can't. And then, you know, like you lose a little bit of patience, but ultimately you have to feel sorry for people because the only reason people can't see it is because of the programming that they've been subject to. You know, people have a very, very unreal perspective of what this world actually is. And I say unreal because it is quite unreal. It is not the real perspective. It is not the real world that they're seeing before their eyes. All they see is the Matrix. You know, there was so much in that movie which was so incredibly true about how this veil has been pulled over our eyes and the Matrix is all around us. It's simply our belief in this system, these cities we've been locked into, and all the programming that people have been subject to throughout their lives. And that's why even when you get angry and frustrated with people's inability to see the obvious straight in front of their eyes, you begin to realize that it's because of the programming, and you really have to feel sorry for people because so many people are suffering in the world. So many people are suffering in their lives. So many people are struggling just to make ends meet, just to put food on the table. So many people feel inadequate in themselves because they never accomplished their dreams. They never got to be that which they thought they would be when they were a child. They never really got to the point where they could view themselves as being successful. But of course, this concept is something that only really exists in the system. It's some parameter that's been delivered to us that we believe we have to adhere to or live up to, you know, climbing rungs on the social ladder or whatever. But still, people don't achieve these goals that they set for themselves, usually which are unobtainable, and they feel bad about it because they didn't do it. They look at themselves as being of less worth because they didn't become all that they thought they would become. But really, it's this system that does it. You know, we're given unrealistic goals and told that we have to achieve them or we're a lesser person. We're told that everybody has to have 2.4 kids and a nice little two-story house and a white picket fence and three cars, or they're just a substandard family. This is the way we've been kind of trained to think. And all of these artificial parameters that we measure ourselves up to have really taken our soul away from ourselves. They've really taken the soul out of our lives. They've put us in a position where we're not ever able to really be ourselves or express ourselves or even find out who and what we are in order to express it, because we're constantly trying to live up to somebody else's standards. And that's a lot of why we don't pay attention to what's going on in higher places, you know, i.e. the political world and what's happening on the global stage, because we're so distracted with trying to just maintain things in our own lives. And, you know, you look at this and you look at the whole situation that our society's in, and is it any wonder that people just don't want to look at the information that we bring them? People just don't want to look at the evil that controls the world because they don't think they'll be able to get through it if they can see it for what it is. They don't want to know about it. It's too uncomfortable. It's too disturbing. They have enough problems just getting through their own lives and putting food on the table without being told that the world is run by a psychopathic pedophile. So it does become very challenging for people. And the problem is that even if people become aware of what the real issues are, people still don't believe they can do anything about it. They don't believe how easy it would be to simply turn and face the system and stop complying with it. You know, the only thing that stops us doing it and having any effect is because we need the strength of numbers in order to pull it off, which is why people should look at this information and share it with others. Because once we reach that groundswell, once we do have the numbers to simply down tools and turn to call this out, then we can heal the world in a day. And I know I've been saying that for a while, but really it's true, folks. I mean, it is. It's true. We could heal this world very easily. And that's been my message. I mean, it has. That's been my message ever since I started doing these radio shows. I could do the shows differently. You know, I could come out here and I could just bring you news every week and tell you what the global situation is and give you my opinion of it, my perspective of it. But I figure there's a lot of other people already doing that. So all I need to do is just maybe touch on some global events and attempt to spread some sort of positive message and some sort of message that's going to help empower people, because I really do believe that once people get it, once people see things clearly and they just down tools and call this system out for what it is, then things will change. As far as I can see it, if people do this, then the system has nowhere to go because it's us that holds it up. That's the thing, you know, but we need the strength of numbers to do it, as I keep saying. You know, we need that critical mass, which is why it's so important for people to lead by example in their community and to break down the barriers with their neighbors. This is something that I've been saying ever since the very first radio show back in 2008 when I was first interviewed. I was saying then that people need to break down the barriers with their neighbors and build a strong communal community support base, because that's what we need. And that's what I'm attempting to do with Full Circle Project, folks. Just get that community support around you and get motivated in your own community. I mean, like I said, folks, I could just come out here and bring you news and tell you about all the gloom and doom and all the terrible things the government's doing, but what help is that going to be? All I'm really doing is making you aware of how bad the prison is getting, and sometimes this can be very disempowering for people. I mean, sure, you need to know what is going on, but like I said, there's a lot of other people already doing that, and I do touch on a lot of that stuff, but I really attempt to point out the opportunities that exist for people in this global situation, in this crisis that we're facing. This is a huge opportunity for conscious expansion, folks. It really is, because you need these things to happen in order to push human consciousness and motivate it and push it in the right direction, push people to the point where they have to stand up for themselves because they simply have no choice. I mean, that seems to be the only way people are ever going to do it, folks. You can't encourage people to do it. You can't educate people to do it. What apparently needs to happen is that people need to be pushed until their backs are completely against the wall, and that is about the only time they're ever going to actually grow a pair and stand up for themselves. So in many ways, perhaps the ruling psychopaths are doing us a favor because they're pushing us to a point where we have to wake up to ourselves. The question is, how long is it going to take for people to do so? I mean, how bad does it have to get, folks? How totalitarian does it have to get? How corrupt does the government have to get before people are actually going to stand up and say something about it? I mean, obviously, we're not quite there yet because not enough people are speaking up yet. But then, of course, many people are locked into the state of fear and they're locked into this disbelief, this cognitive dissonance of what's actually going on. They simply don't want to know about it, even if it's true, because it will make their life too uncomfortable to know. And many people will say, well, it's not very totalitarian here. The police aren't really that bad. They're just keeping us all safe, aren't they? Because they believe the war on terror is real. They don't see what your government is actually doing to foreign countries and using what they're doing to foreign countries as a means of locking you down into a police state under the pretext of keeping you safe from the people they're terrorizing in foreign countries. It really is a convoluted mess that these politicians cook up, folks. But hopefully it won't last too much longer. Hopefully the sleeping masses will rise up and do something about this situation we find ourselves in. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so it would be good if the sleeping masses would rise up and do something, and really all they need to rise up and do is nothing. As I often said, you know, really the way to combat this system is to simply step away from it. Non-compliance is the way to combat it. Simply stop abiding by rules and laws which cause you to step outside your moral compass. You know, when I say non-compliance, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to stop everything from working. What it means is you need to stop complying with anything which causes you to step outside your moral compass. Now, I'd like to see a day of non-compliance. I'd like to see a day where nobody spent any money. We could call it the day the earth stood still and everybody just stayed home and refused to spend any money, refused to participate in commerce for the day or to support the banking system or monetary system for the day. But true non-compliance, really, is always being in a state of love, never being in a state of fear, and never doing anything which causes you to step outside your moral compass. Even if you're working for a company, if you're doing something that you know is bad and the company is telling you to do it, well, you just don't do it. If you lose your job, it doesn't matter. Expose the company for what they've done. You know, get another job, it doesn't matter. You know, we've got to stop supporting all these things which cause us to do damage to the world and damage to other people. That's true non-compliance, folks. True non-compliance is helping people around you and refusing to participate in anything which is questionable, anything which causes you to do the wrong thing or step outside your moral compass. Refuse to obey any legislation which is immoral or amoral, and question authority. And honestly, folks, it's hard to find any other time in history when there has been more tools available to the average people on the street for them to be able to question authority with. I mean, just look at the release of the Clinton emails, ladies and gentlemen. This is phenomenal information. You might have heard my interview last week with George Webb discussing the crimes of the Clinton Foundation. This is what is going on, folks. This is who is running your world. This is a cancer that exists within the US political system, and you'll find that the same cancer exists within political systems in all Western countries. This is what goes on behind the scenes. This is what the politicians actually do. And so this is why there's no point thinking you can find remedy by voting people in or voting people out, because you're not going to get any remedy that way. I mean, when you see the level of corruption that is revealed through the Clinton emails, folks, you've got to realize how futile it is to be voting people in or voting people out or starting movements or using anything that's provided for you by the political system as a means of escape from it. Now, using anything, if you want to start some sort of a movement in your community to do something beneficial and you've got to get government approval to do it, well, you've already lost, because you look at this cancer that exists within government. How are they going to fund anything that they don't profit from? How are they going to let you do anything that doesn't channel children to them? You know, how are you going to ever achieve anything while this cancer exists and stays ignored by the people? So we've got a brilliant opportunity here to expose the criminality of this system once and for all. Because the crimes of the Clinton Foundation and what these people do, as I said, you're going to find this exists in all governments. This is really what goes on behind the scenes. All of the people who manufacture the wars and support the wars all have ties to arms manufacturers, all have shares in companies that profit from war. All of these people are involved in human trafficking. They're all involved in feathering their own nests at the expense of the rest of the world. You know, there is no reason for any country to be at war with any other country. Not in the modern world there isn't, folks. There's no reason for any of this death and human suffering to be going on. The only reason it does continue is because the governments that are running the world are utterly corrupt, and the people are kept blinded to what is really going on by a tightly controlled and utterly corrupt and completely dishonest and misinformative mainstream media. You know, the mainstream media is populated by people who do nothing but lie to the people of the world. The job of the mainstream media ultimately is to keep people in fear so they believe that everybody is out to get them. There is a massive terrorist force outside their borders and they need government to protect them. To keep people oblivious to the farm that they are living on and the way they are being farmed, and to keep them distracted with all sorts of meaningless other stuff, which isn't true. Half of it isn't even true. Most of the stories you see on the news are manufactured, and they also deliver you a completely false view of what is actually going on in the world outside your country, which gives your government the support that it needs to go and run its slavery system. Because, of course, this slavery system is always run from any particular country under the guise of protecting the people, when it, of course, does nothing of the sort. In fact, it achieves exactly the opposite. You know, really, when you look at it, folks, it becomes painfully obvious that everything the government does is designed to hold the people back. There's nothing that they do which is designed to move us forward. It may look a little positive on the surface, but when you look deeper to whatever it is they're offering you, it always serves the government and not the people. It simply provides entertainment for people. It just keeps them occupied and keeps them satisfied to a certain degree, but it never gives them the freedom that they really wanted. And this freedom is never going to be established until people stand up and get it for themselves. This is what Full Circle Project is about. And folks, look, I urge people to get involved in Full Circle Project. And if you are involved in the project, if you are signed up to the project, send out calls to people, send out messages to people and organize meetings. And if people send you a message to organize a meeting, go and attend the meeting. Go and at least find out who these people are and form a support group. Get a support group around you. Now, I find there's a lot of people signed up in a lot of places, but they're simply not participating. They're waiting to get the newsletter to tell them the world has been saved. And that's not really what it's about, folks. It's about participation. You know, people have to get involved on the ground themselves and realize that that's where they're going to make a difference. But if they're not prepared to do it on the ground, if they're not prepared to start taking action in their own community, at least to break down the barriers with your neighbors, at least to form a support group, at least to get some sort of public knowledge happening, then there's not going to be any way forward. And look, we've got so many tools at our disposal now with the exposure of the Clinton emails and all of this information we've got. You know, we've got a lot of tools that we can use now to wake people up. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There really is. people should not despair when they're fighting this battle. You know, sometimes it can get very dark. Sometimes you can reach a place where you just think it's absolutely hopeless and you can't go forward. But you can go forward, folks. There is always a light at the end of the tunnel. And a lot of the darkness that you perceive is simply not truth. It's thoughts that have been put into your head. It's ideas that have been put into your mind which make you think it's hopeless and you can't go forward, but it's simply not true. It's an illusion. In fact, I did an interview on Truth Frequency Radio a couple of days ago where I touched on this very topic and kind of got it in a nutshell quite well. And I've actually been contacted by a friend of mine who's asked me to include a section from that interview in this show. And I think I actually will, folks. It feels a bit strange playing a clip of myself talking, but I think I kind of nailed it in this conversation. So I might just insert 2 minutes of an interview that I was involved in on Truth Frequency the other day, and I'll just put it here for your humble consideration. And this is for you, Christy. Have a listen to this.
Clinical detachment is what I call that removing of your emotional filters.
Mm. It's what has to be done. It's hard for some people to do it, but if you're going to look at this information, it's really the only way you will survive the onslaught of what you're going to find.
Right, because you can't come back out of that untouched. If you do it right, you'll never look at things the same again.
But if you go in there with your emotions, your emotional filter intact, and your moral compass still in that place, and you go there, it's going to damage you. It's going to really damage you, and it'll drive a lot of people insane. It'll drive people to a point where they'll back away from the whole thing and just want to go and live in a hole and wait for the world to end. You know, it really can affect people that much. It's so dark.
Yes, it can.
For people to look at.
That's why I had to stop investigating for a while, too, because I was afraid of that very thing. Because, to be honest with you, looking at that dark stuff and that's why I told Star, I was like, you don't want to look, honey, because she's an empath. Okay. Star is an empath. And when she saw some of the stuff, she lost it.
Yeah.
You get to the point where the energy itself, the evil that controls the world, that exists in everywhere, it's in everything. It's all over the place. You know, when you really start going into yourself and looking at those bits in yourself and finding these dark areas, and you find out how all pervasive this psychopathy is that's running the world, you get to a point where it becomes, it's hopeless. You think it's hopeless, isn't it? It's completely and utterly irrelevant. Anything I do, it's like you're just being suspended over a void of complete blackness, and you just think, what is the point? It's so all-pervasive that I may as well just kill myself. It's that point. But then you can get to that point, and you think, well, hang on. If it's making me think this, then this too is an illusion, and it wants me to kill myself because I'm onto it. And I can actually move forward and shine some light here now, and I can actually move things forward energetically because I've got to that point of complete and utter despair, and I realize that also is a trap. That is a thought that's been put in my mind. It's been implanted there to make me take my own life, to make me give up and think that it's hopeless. So, of course, it's an illusion because it's a thought, so it's an illusion, you know.
Yes.
You know, remove all thought from it and just act from the heart. This is how it works. You've got to really look at where your thoughts are coming from, if your thoughts are really your own, especially when you start looking at this dark stuff. And when you get to that point of utter despair, utter hopelessness, realize that that's the point of change. That's the point where you can really move forward from that point, because you've just reached the ultimate illusion and the ultimate play of the trickster to make you think that's because that's how close you've come. You know what I'm saying? So it's really important that people look at that, because I've been to that point. I've been to that point myself of being in utter despair. And I've realized that is the turning point. So never give up, folks.
I had never heard such an eloquent and concise way of putting all of that, which I knew, into words. That was so beautifully put. And I'm going to record that for history.
So, yeah, I think I kind of nailed it in that conversation, folks. Never give up. When you reach that point of despair, realize you've just reached the ultimate illusion, the ultimate play of the trickster, because there is nothing to despair about. You have no stake in the outcome of any of this anyway. You're only here for a breath. Why would you have a stake in the outcome? And why would you think that your actions can count for nothing? Why would you feel like you're insignificant or irrelevant? Because nobody is insignificant or irrelevant. Everybody's here for a reason. Everybody's here to participate, and everybody has something valid to offer. So when you look at this information and you get to that really black area, that real darkness, that feeling of utter despair or hopelessness, you think that the Leviathan is just too big for you to ever do anything, realize that it's not, that that is a thought that has been put in your head, and that is the point of ultimate change. That is the point where you can let go of everything. Let go of all physical attachment to anything. Let go of physical attachment to your possessions, to your body, to anything, and realize that it's about the experience and what you do with it. None of the other stuff matters. It's all temporary anyway. It's all just baggage to hold you down. You're here to experience you and to move this consciousness forward. This is what we're here to do, folks. We're here to heal this situation, and we can heal it if we can look at how the plays go and look at how the plays are being made against us and look at where our thoughts are coming from and realize that it can't be hopeless because there is no stake in the outcome anyway. How can it be a hopeless situation if it's meaningless? And it is virtually meaningless, folks, because you're only here for a breath. You're only here for the blink of an eye. You can't possibly have a stake in the outcome of what this world's going to do, or even a stake in the outcome of all the stuff that you collect and all the things that you do in your life, because it's a temporary existence. It's a limited hangout, folks. That's what this is. This whole life is a limited hangout. So how can you have a stake in the outcome? People just have this misconception of what the meaning of life is. They think life means stuff. It means this personal gain. It means all of these trappings that society gives us and sustaining ourselves through it. But really, the meaning of life is living the life. It's experiencing the life. The meaning of life is to become all that you can be. And that doesn't mean gathering heaps of baggage. It's an internal journey. But, you know, you can apply your internal self to the world around you, and you can heal it by simply staying in your moral compass and doing the right thing in all that you do. You know, we could heal the world so quickly, folks. We really could. But what I'm trying to say with this is when you get to these moments where you think it's hopeless and you think that it's useless and you just despair and think there's nothing you can do, realize that that is the point of change. That is the point that you can let go of everything, because the only reason you think it's hopeless and you're full of despair is because you're judging life from its external parameters, the parameters that have been given to you by this society, by all of the teachings that you've had from other people and all this stuff that's been put in your head, all the books you've read, all this stuff. But what about you? What about you? What about your experience and your perspective? That is the meaning of your life. Really, it is. And if the world around you is not what you want it to be, well, change it by changing yourself and applying that new self that you are to the world around you. You know, work within your moral compass. Always stay true to your moral compass and do the right thing in all that you do. Don't abide by any rule or regulation which causes you to step outside your moral compass. Don't hang around with those sort of people. Question authority. All of these sorts of things can make a huge difference, folks. They really can. But in order to do any of that, again, you've got to remove a stake in the outcome. You know, why would you worry about how much stuff you're going to collect or where the world's really going to go if you're not going to be here? You know, the only reason I do what I do is because I believe that we should be good caretakers of this place. I believe that we should improve reality by our presence in it. You know, and I can see where the world is going. I can see the world that has been created for children, and I simply can't approve of this. I can't tolerate this. I can't allow this. I can't tolerate this type of evil to be so pervasive in the world. But hey, if the human race destroys itself, well, what do I care? What do I care? I won't be here. I have no stake in the outcome of what this species does. I know that I came here and I tried to do my bit to make it better, but if the whole experiment fails, well, I guess God or consciousness or the supreme creator or whatever it is, or nothingness or whatever it is that we come from, I guess they'll start the experiment again and realize that, well, this one didn't work. Perhaps we better do it differently. I mean, it's realizing you're part of this experiment and realizing that you can make a difference if you apply yourself. Just don't feel hopeless, because the only reason you feel hopeless is because you're judging yourself from within the trappings of this society. You're judging yourself by your social standing or by your ability to be able to collect paper to put food on the table, or all of the things have been put there to limit your experience, to control your experience. You haven't been able to navigate your way through this control mechanism in a satisfactory manner, and so you feel like you are inadequate, and it's an illusion. It's an absolute illusion. And as much as an illusion as thinking that you cannot do anything to change the world and the fate of the human race is inevitable, because it's not. There's a huge shift happening at the moment, folks, just the release of these Clinton emails and what this is doing to human consciousness. This is causing people on the street to be able to see things clearly in a language they can understand, not even conspiratorial. So there are so many good things happening, folks. There is so much positive stuff on the horizon to look forward to. And the wave of consciousness that we're seeing sweeping around the world at the moment, folks, I think it's getting to the point where the governments are going to have to start changing things because they're getting enough pressure from the people to have to do it. There is a huge wave of awareness happening on this world, folks. There really is. A lot of people are realizing now that there is a very, very dangerous, very bad criminal element that exists behind all of our governments, and that all of these wars and this entire global situation has been contrived, manufactured, and constructed very, very deliberately, very, very purposefully, and it doesn't have to be this way at all. Many people can see it now, folks, so don't despair. I think we're in for a very positive year in 2017. I really do. I'm certainly in for a very busy year. I do know that. I've got a lot of traveling to do this year, folks. I'm actually leaving Australia in about a month, and I'm heading directly to Tehran to speak at a 400-member delegation in Tehran. We'll be discussing the situation in Palestine and what remedies can be applied. And then I go from there directly to the Anacapulco conference in Mexico. I'll be speaking there sometime between the 24th and the 27th. I'm not quite sure when I'm coming on. I'm hoping it's not the 24th because I won't be arriving until the 23rd directly from Iran. So it would be good not to be doing a jet lag performance. But anyway, I'll be speaking at Anacapulco this year. And then I'm going from there to Hawaii, where I've got a month of combo workshops and just get-togethers and meet and greets and maybe some small talks and things that I'll be doing in Hawaii. From there, I'll be going to the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia. And from there, I'm attempting to organize some sort of a talk in LA. I'll be working on that in the next couple of months. And from LA, I go to the Rock the Farm event in Ohio, which will be on the 5th of May. From there, I go to speak at AV8 in the UK around about sometime in the middle of May. I'm not quite sure of the date. You can go and look on Ian R. Crane's website, and I'm sure you'll have all the information there. From there, I go to meet some people and have some meetings in Holland. And from there, there's a very good possibility I'll be going to Lebanon to speak at the Palestinian University in Lebanon sometime around about June or July. And then I've actually got a couple of months off, folks, before I believe I'm booked to speak at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen in September, but I need to confirm that. And then after that, I will actually get to have a little bit of time off, and I get to go back to Peru and relax for a few months and work on the film. Unfortunately, I haven't got a lot of work done on the film. In fact, I've got virtually no work done on the film while I've been home here in Australia because sort of things didn't work out with my assistant. So I just haven't had the time to get anything done. I'm very, very far behind the eight ball. That's why you haven't seen the website updated too much lately, because I've just got so much work here I'm trying to prepare, and I've got a lot to prepare for the next year. I am trying to get some work done on the films, and I'm trying to maintain and do the radio shows and update the website at the same time. So it's kind of tricky, folks. I really do need a secretary. If there's one out there and you feel like working for a very little wage and you're young and energetic, it would be great to have someone around, because I really do need some help. But that is my year, folks. It's quite a busy year that I've got planned ahead. Well, has been planned for me anyway. And hopefully if you're out there listening, then I'll get to catch up with you at some of the events in the United States, perhaps in Hawaii, some of the workshops, or perhaps the Free Your Mind event, or perhaps the event we can organize in LA, perhaps at the Rock the Farm event in Ohio. I would like to do a talk in New York after Free Your Mind if I can organize it, but I'm not sure whether I'm going to be able to get to New York or not. I've got a few friends in New York State I'd really like to catch up with, but I just really don't know if that's going to happen. We'll just have to play it by ear at the time and see what eventuates. But that is my year, folks, so if you are around, it would be great to see you at one of the events. And for all those in the UK, I've spoken at Ian R. Crane's AV events a couple of times now, and they're very, very good events and very informative, a very good array of speakers. And I really like the way the events are laid out as well. The accommodation is great and the whole family atmosphere is great. The way you're all sitting around tables, everyone gets to meet each other and gets to hang out together. And they're just really good events. So I really look forward to seeing all the people that regularly attend the AV events in England. And if you're not someone who regularly attends, folks, I do recommend you check these events out. Ian does a really good job with these. So it'd be good to get back and see all my friends in England. I seem to be sentenced to a month in England almost every year, folks. I mean, I do love England, but when you get there and it's sort of cold and, you know, it's kind of like being sentenced to a month in a refrigerator for me. Although going there in May, it's not too bad. It's actually spring in England and it was quite warm last year. I actually got some sun. So that's a pleasant change for the UK, but I do look forward to seeing everybody over there. And folks, if you are a fan of the show, if you're someone who's listened to my work for a long time and you would like to catch up, this is probably going to be the last tour that I do for a while. I'm really getting sort of tired of the traveling, folks. It is really quite grueling. You know, a lot of people kind of think it's a very elitist lifestyle, you know, traveling the world, being a globetrotter, but it's actually very, very grueling. It's actually very tiring. It takes a lot out of you. And the older I get, the harder it becomes for me to travel, especially living in Australia, having to fly such long distances all the time. It really does take its toll. I got very, very ill when I returned home to Australia in October, just from the amount of traveling that I'd done. And the flight back to Australia, the last flight I took was like 56 hours. It was a ridiculously long flight with long stopovers and long layovers everywhere. And so it really does sort of take its toll on you after a while, folks. And I kind of need some time out from traveling. I've been kind of flitting around the world since 2012, almost nonstop. So this is going to be the last year that I travel for, well, until further notice. I really don't know when I'm going to feel like doing it again. So this might be a good opportunity to come and catch up, because I don't know when you're going to get another one. The thing is, with this trip that I'm making now, I will be away from home from anywhere from a year to 18 months on this journey. So when I get back in 2018, or mid-2018, I'm definitely going to want to just sit down for a few months and sort of regain my ground and regain my center. So yeah, just to put that out there, folks, do come along and say hi if you have ever wanted to, because this may be the last chance you get to do so for quite some time, unless you feel like visiting me in Australia or perhaps in Peru if I happen to be living there for a while as well. I'm not quite sure where I'll be yet. I've got to admit that where I live here in Australia is honestly one of the best places in the world to be. I mean, I've been all around the world. I've lived in many places. Well, I've stayed in many places. And when I really look at what this place has to offer where I live and the paradisical place that I live, I mean, I really do live in paradise, folks. If you could see where I live, you would really want to move here. Everybody who comes here just as well, they want to move here. They want to live here. You know, and a lot of people who ask me to come and move in with them or come and live where they are and tell me all the great things about where they live, I say, well, that's all very well. But before you try to convince me of that, just come and check out where I live and look at what I've got access to, and then tell me whether I should move. That's the thing, folks. I really do live in a nice spot, but I do love Peru as well. I'm not sure where I'm going to end up, but I'll end up somewhere. But the gist of what I'm trying to say here, folks, is that this is going to be the last tour that I do for a while. So if you do want to come and say hi, now's the time to do it. But anyway, I seem to have gone on with housekeeping a little bit longer than I intended, and now we've got about a minute left of the broadcast, so I'm sorry about that. A little bit of personal housekeeping and a bit of a personal data for you to take home today rather than the normal stuff that I bring you. So I was going to say a few more things, but I think we're getting a little bit late now for me to branch into any more topics. So thanks for putting up with the housekeeping at the end. But we are pretty well getting towards the end of the show here, folks, so there's not much more I can really say. Thank you to all those who continue to support the show. Thank you to those who support the Patreon account. And honestly, folks, it is the only thing that is keeping me going now, this Patreon account. I've exhausted all my savings. This is really all I've got to fall back on. And if you do like the show and you do want things to continue, please just offer a couple of dollars a month. It would be really great. I'd really love to get enough to be able to actually get some sort of an assistant so I can actually pay someone to help me with all this, because if I could do that, I could get so much more information put out. But anyway, folks, I've reached the end of the show, so thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. If you haven't done so yet, please go and look at the work of George Webb on YouTube, or go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and click the link that says, "Where is Eric Braverman?" and look at the investigation that is unfolding into the Clinton emails, because you can use this information. It's important. And so please do that, folks. But I will look forward to speaking to you again next week, folks. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.